point out that as we start into this, one of the overall thoughts is that it's an exhortation. It's a book. The fact is, if there's a point in kind of an overall thought, this is one of the aspects that has been kind of scary to me about the book on a personal basis. I've studied through it before, and it's heavy. You know, you get into some of the passages, and it is heavy, and you just start to ask yourself, where do I really sit on this? How do I apply this? But, you know, I thought about the book being a book of exhortation because it says that in 13th, chapter 22nd verse. Notice it says, "And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words." He's talking about the book of Hebrews. But what was such an encouragement to me was to look at that word exhortation. It isn't a negative. I, for whatever reason, was the warning passages which are found in the book of Hebrews always seemed heavy. I will always be impacted by Dr. Hauser's teaching on the book of Hebrews at a seminary, and we spent all of our time in the five warning passages. It was really, really a fascinating study, let me say that. But it also was a heavy study. Because you read it and you say, whoa, how do I do? And how do others that I love and know, how are they doing? But the point is, the word exhortation is a Greek word that is many times translated comfort and encouragement. And that, at least for me, transformed the way I'm looking at the book. It is a book of exhortation, but it's in the context of encouraging us to go into a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, this encouragement will comfort us as we face life's challenges. Because the deeper I grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ, the better I am able to handle the ups and downs of life. Particularly the downsides, when things don't go the way you want. How God is right there. He never, never lets us fall through His hands. He holds us up. And that's such a blessing to me. The book of Hebrews can be thought of from these five perspectives. The evaluation, we talked about that last Wednesday. The exhortation, we'll talk about briefly this. Then we'll talk about the examination, the expectation, and the exaltation in the coming Wednesday nights as we just use this as a devotional topic. Last week, I used three words to talk about this evaluation because it used the word better and perfect a lot of times in the book. That's the significance. Over a dozen times. And it's important to recognize that Jesus Christ is what we're talking about being better. He's better. It's a better way to go through life, walking close to Him. He is perfect in every aspect. And He is eternal and forever. Which in a day and age like we have going, that seems to change and doesn't have any stability, and you don't know whether, you know, we really don't know what's going to happen from day to day, it is really comforting to recognize the permanence of our great God. So from the better standpoint, we talked about being better than angels, a better hope, and a better covenant, and those are the references that we talked about last week. In regards to the perfect, is more perfect than the Levitical priesthood. Our priest, we can enter the throne rooms with Him anytime. He's right there. And He's told us to come boldly into the throne rooms. And we have a high priest that's higher and different than any other. Wow. He's a perfect, more perfect than the law. The law points out sin. He's the solution to the sin. More perfect than the blood of animal sacrifices. Why? Because He died once for all. Taken care of. Our past, our present, and even our future sins, for those of us that have come to Jesus Christ, have already been addressed. Eternal salvation, eternal redemption, eternal inheritance. His throne is forever. His priesthood is forever. And He is the same forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that is a great reminder when we are reading through, as we are in our personal devotional times, if you're going through the Behold Your God. We're bouncing around. We're in the Old Testament sometimes, the New Testament other times. It doesn't matter what time. Our Lord is the same Lord. And we can learn principles from there that can be very, very applicable to our life today. Now, we already talked about that verse, and time is fleeting. There are five, we are going to cover each one of these. Okay, so don't misunderstand what I'm doing tonight. Some people don't know that they're necessarily there. You might want to write these down. The first one is this warning passage or exhortation passage. And when I think about it, I'm trying to remind myself it's an encouragement, and it is to be a comfort to me. And he has in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, this reminder, don't allow yourself to drift. Drift from the Word. And yet, I think we're all here, actually. It is very easy for any of us to get activities of life and circumstances of life and then drift. Drift from the Word because of these other things take on an undue and inappropriate significance. And we're the worst off for it. And it says, don't do that. Be smarter than that. Number two, doubting the Word. When we get hit those tough situations, when I think of that, I think of how sometimes we get hit with circumstances and our heart gets hardened. And we're not sensitive to what the Word of God clearly says. We don't think it applies to us or it won't apply to their circumstances or whatever. Well, don't do it. We're encouraged and reminded that that's a challenge. The dullness of the Word. And I think in that area, how often it is just a laziness. And you'll see that in this warning passage in Hebrews chapter 5. Now, I want to make this protective statement for myself. If you take a bunch of scholars, they're pretty consistently all have five warning passages, but they take the specific verse to what verse. They do have different starting points and ending points. Okay, I just state that. But I'm very comfortable that the ones that I'm showing you are the heart from the heart of those passages. Then there's despise the Word. And the last one is defying the Word. Now think about, as you're moving through the book, we have this ability to drift. We have the ability to doubt. We have this tendency towards dullness. It's just getting old. It's the same old, same old. And the despising of the Word when it confronts us with something we don't like. We say, well, I don't like that. And you see that in our culture. I mean, that is the postmodern day in which we live. Well, that could be right for you, but it's not right for me. No, it doesn't work that way. God's Word is truth. And defying the Word, which is such a frightening thought, where we know what we ought to do. And I'm talking about little, in my own life, as I've been doing this study and preparing this, I recognize how it's in little things. I was confronted even today how I responded to some different interactions with people, and I left, and God convicted me that, you know what, I should have said that more gently. There is no reason I said it the way I did. I just like this. And it went, and no one seemed to be bothered by it, but I was bothered. The Spirit of God bothered me. But that's what I'm talking about. When we know, how are we supposed to be with one another? Loving, right? Gentle? Non-confrontational for the most part. We have responsibilities to confront our brother in sin. But I'm talking about just everyday life. We are not supposed to be difficult to be around. But is it not easy to be tired and then become difficult? And then justify it in our own little minds? I was going to have us read all of them. That's because I thought we'd have a half an hour. Instead, we ended up with 10 minutes by my own planning here. Or my planning didn't work out. But I just want you to see what's ahead for us. There is, in this drifting one, it is so relevant to American Christianity because we don't necessarily in our personal lives have things that are driving us to, I can't control anything, I can only look up to God. We're not in that situation for the most part. We can, if we're hungry, we can go get food. If we're in need of solving this, we can go talk to somebody and they can probably help us. But you know what? There are a lot of people around the world that have absolutely no place to turn except up. So we, therefore, become more challenged in this area because of our affluence. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. He is saying, because of how great Jesus Christ is, we ought to pay much more attention to how great God we have and how great His Word is. I say that. That's very relevant to us. That's why we're doing what we're doing this summer. Take heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, I don't know about you, but just think about the drifting. That what's so scary about those two words, drifting away, is to me they just yell about not even be aware of the fact that you're getting further into troubled waters and you don't know it. You're drifting. It's not like you're paddling that direction. You're just kind of floating over there, and it doesn't bode well. It's going to hit you when you're not prepared. Drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Well, that is a reminder. Every. Now, you understand what that is saying to you and I when we have gone about our day? God says there's a just reward for everything. And it should be a motivation for us to be very mindful of the choices we make, the way we interact, the likes. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heed Him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Time's up here, but let me just give you a little bit of an outline as you might want to be challenged to read and think about this in your own life tonight and tomorrow. The first two verses, what do they include? They include a commandment to heed this. This is a commandment. Don't forget the power of this. And we ought to be paying attention to the word. And you might say, well, I don't really know how to apply it. Well, that's the challenge then. Figure it out. Start, because you know what? The Spirit of God is teaching us. If you're really a believer, get into the word. And if you can't figure out how to apply this, how this, be asking the Lord, Lord, open my heart here. I know your word is to guide me and direct me. And I need to be focused on learning about you. Help me. It really starts there more than going to anybody else. Number two, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? By becoming spoken by the Lord. Now here is the communicators. This command is spoken by the Lord. And who else? By the apostles. It was confirmed by those who heard Him. So those that were His teachers. So we have the Lord. It's the Lord's word which is the most significant. But it's also the followers of the Lord were repeating this message. Take heed. Drifting is very, very much part of a tendency of the old flesh. Be careful. And then it comes down and He says He confirmed it. On this bottom part, God has also bearing witness both by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. What is He verifying? He is verifying that we could drift and we don't have to. And He's coming down here and says, there's tools here. There are ways in which His word is underpinned. And we ought to be looking for Him in our own life. Be connecting with it. This is the thing that stands out in my mind in this is the reality that the word is quick and powerful. And it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged. And He's talking about, take heed to the word. It is not to be cold, indifferent, and unrelated to us. It's to be grabbing hold of us and stirring us to know our God better. And you know what it ought to produce in us? More and more separated people. Not separated from that we're not talking to others that are without Christ, but separated in the fact that we are responding to life controlled by the Spirit of God and differently than the world. That's how we'd be separated. So they would see us respond to the same pressures, but entirely different than our culture. Because we have been conformed to His image. Amen? The challenge of the week is don't drift. Don't drift away this summer. Use this summer to be in the Word and to be challenging yourself to know God better and to be God's instrument to connect with others. God is bringing, I think of my neighbor not being locked out of this. Those are sovereignly ordained interventions. And then you're sitting there saying, I do not want to get my ladder out and at night in North Minneapolis and lean it up next to an apartment, and I sure don't want to be climbing up the ladder when the police come around. I mean, that is, I had this horrible thought going through my mind. I'm going to be just kind of with my feet only pointing out the window when the squad comes by. And I wonder how I'm going to explain this, as I don't even really know their name because I can't pronounce it. But see, that's God. That's God arranging some interaction. Intervention and interaction.